Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Andy Baskin there. I'm Jeff Phelps. Guardians have a day off. Guardians need a day off. They'll be in San Francisco tomorrow. They'll open a series against the Giants. They're not playing good baseball right now. The Guardians have lost 5 of their last 6 games. They've lost 8 of their last 10 games. They've lost 13 of their last 19 games.
Wow, you're painting an excellent picture there, Jeff Phelps.
And they're now 9 in. I'm not painting. I'm just reciting.
No, you're painting.
They're now 9.5 games behind the Detroit Tigers. Andy, the magic number of 10.
It's right there.
It's right there. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He does a fine job of covering the Guardians for the Chronicle Telegram. He's a good friend of our show. He's Mr. Chris Ossenheimer. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Not the standings for the Guardians.
Yeah, I was going to go with that right out of the gates. You know, give the what's up, guys? Not the Guardians, am I right?
Yeah.
Am I? Tip your waiter.
Nine and a half behind Detroit. Okay, so the Tigers are running away with it. It doesn't mean you can't get into the playoffs with a wild card. But 9.5 out, and you've lost 13 of 19. What's up? Is this team just in a slump, or is this team playing to its level?
I would say it's the latter right now. I mean, you look at that lineup, and sure, there were some time. I mean, Schneeman had a few games here and there. Guys have had some games, but I mean, it's not a good lineup, and I don't see how that changes. And you know, I'm to be quite honest with you, I think a lot of it goes back to trading Josh Naylor.
Wow.
I don't think that they needed to do that. And certainly if you do that, you don't bring another first baseman in who's blocking Manzardo's path to first base.
And pay him more than Naylor's making in Arizona.
And it's just, and you know, that guy, as you guys know, that guy was the fire. He was, I mean, Jose clearly is the team leader and the best player. Everybody follows him. But as far as vocal leader, I mean, that was Naylor. And you just don't see that fire this year. And I know a lot of that has to do with the fact you're not scoring runs. What's there to get excited about? But, man, it just seems like they lack that one key thing that made their identity last year and made them so tough to beat. And you're just not seeing that now. And I don't think I don't see any, you know, you can bring up a couple guys from the minors and see if that works. But I mean, that's basically what you have in your team right now is like a bunch of 4A guys until proven otherwise.
Nolan Jones is getting hot. CJ Cephas is on fire.
Yeah.
And Chase DeLauder's right there too. Oh, it seems like all three of these guys, at least I'd rather watch these guys struggle coming up than what we're watching right now.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Especially Cephas. Like Nolan, I'm the big Cephas guy around here. So.
Okay, sure. Again, yeah, you're gonna see stuff like that. I mean, you saw Noel go down.
Yeah.
I think that's been a huge, huge disappointment to them. I think they had him penciled in, you know, as a power threat. He hit 13 home runs last year, including a huge one in the postseason. And they just, he looked like he did when he first came up, just chasing and whatever. And yeah, I mean, that's fine. You can bring some of these guys up, but I don't see how Chase DeLauder or Cephas bring, like, changes the fact, then how many games is that going to give them? You know, I mean, it's just, it would be nice to see for the future, though. I'll give you that.
Nolan Jones is hitting .389 over his last 15 games. He's been swinging the bat really well after not swinging it very well, you know, for most of the season. Should you just put him in the lineup, leave him alone, and let's see what you get for another month or two?
Yes. And I think Steven Vogt's leaning that way, too.
Is he?
Vogt definitely has been a champion of the Nolan Jones is on the verge of breaking out. And it started to get a little, it started to sound a little silly when a month later the dude's hitting, you know, 170 or whatever he was hitting. But it's paying off now, you know? I mean, I suppose more playing time is helping him out. I mean, that's the key usually. But yeah, you're not getting anything out there that, you know, that you wouldn't want him out there on a regular basis.
Chris Ostenheimer joining us. He covers the Guardians for the Chronicle-Telegram. Carlos Santana is at first base. He's on a one-year deal. Kyle Manzardo not getting the at-bats maybe that he should with David Fry up here now. And C.J. Cephas, who's in the minors, is a first baseman. To me, it screams trade Carlos Santana. But I think you only do that, Chris, if you think you're not a contender. Where do you think they stand on Carlos Santana right now and their position in the division and their position in the American League? I think it's all tied together.
I think that, I mean, as far as Santana goes, I mean, he's kind of a veteran leader guy, you know, he's familiar with the organization and everything. But yeah, of course, if you're folding up the tents and saying, hey, we're going to play for next year, then there's no reason to keep him on the team. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. And certainly I don't think you're going to get a whole lot for him. But, yeah, if you decide that's it, then, like, same thing with Nolan Jones and all those players. Just play him then, you know. If you don't think you're in it, I think it's going to be tough for a team that, you know, advanced to the ALCS last year. You know, I mean, I'm sure fans aren't going to be real excited about that. But, you know, half a portion of Guardians fans that I've seen over the years, that's all you ever hear about is how they want the guys in the minors playing and called up. And you know, you're seeing some of the – sometimes you see some fruits, but this year you certainly haven't because no one's really helped them.
Okay, so riddle me this one. At second base, you would have had Brito, I think, if he weren't injured. But they're kind of, you know, they're trying to juggle second base a little bit. They're also juggling center field. Lane Thomas with his injuries. We've seen Nolan Jones out there. We've seen Angel Martinez out there. Who would you play in center, and who would you play at second?
Well, Arias was more of the reason that Brito didn't get a chance, and for a little bit. I know he's gone back. But
right, but I was just saying, if, you know, once Rocchio was sent down and you moved Arias to shortstop, clearly Brito would have been called up if he had been healthy, right?
Oh, okay, yes. I'm sure, though, I mean, Stephen Vogt likes Daniel Schneeman an awful lot. So I don't know. I mean, you would think, but there again, you know, you're talking about are we playing for this year or are we playing for next year? You know, I think if you're playing for this year still, you're starting Schneeman there or Angel Martinez there. And I get it. You know, you traded for Lane Thomas. I mean, you can't just give up on him a year after he was a tear in the postseason, and maybe not a tear, but hit some big homers. So yeah, I think that, certainly, again, it comes down to, you know, you're playing for next year, you're playing for this year. And next year, Brito would have been up, sure.
So what is the bar? I mean, you know, we were sitting here talking about being 9.5 back in the Central, but truthfully, they're only one back in a wild card spot. So, I mean, you can juggle it any way you want. And I don't know if you have great momentum towards the end of the season if you're still just one. But, it's not like the season's going to be over at the All-Star break. But at least we keep our fingers crossed. It's not.
Right. Well, also, we saw what happened in, you know, Tito's last year. They're, what were they, a game and a half out of first, and they basically traded everybody, including Josh Naylor's best friend, Aaron Civale. So, and I don't know. I mean, even if they are hovering around a game or two out of the wild card, do they push on and go for it, or do they decide like they did in Tito's last year? You know, no, we're not going to go for it, and we're going to trade guys.
Chris Ostenheimer joining us, Chronicle Telegram. Chris, I want to go back to center field. Would you play Lane Thomas out there? I would think yes. Is Nolan Jones a guy you would play there and put Thomas in right? How do you think they should handle that? And Martinez has looked good out there.
Yeah, he has. He has. I mean, I don't think it matters where you play Thomas, center field or right field. I mean, he's played both of them a whole lot. And, but yeah, I'd put both of them in on a regular basis. And that means Angel Martinez has to be your second baseman. And that's fine. You know, I mean, that works out. So I'm not saying, you know, they're going to produce like crazy, but that's the way I would go with it.
Thanks for being with us, kind sir.
You're a good man.
Of course.
You know, Patrick's playing golf today. I don't know why you should be out there, of course, too. Just saying.
That's all right. I'm playing tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Well, he just didn't invite me today.
Oh. That's
he should have.
No, he's not invited tomorrow, believe you me.
Uh-oh. Oh.
See you, dude.
Peace.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Interestingly enough, friend of our show happened to be the only guy under par when he won the Open Championship. Not the U.S., but you might call it the British Open. We're not allowed to do that anymore. It's the Open Championship. When he won the Open in 2003, the only player under par joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's former Kent Stater Ben Curtis. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jeff, Nandy, how you guys doing?
We're well. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you jumping in real quick. We'll make it short and sweet.
Yeah, my pleasure.
The thing that Andy and I were just talking about, Ben, a couple of segments ago, the Open Championship, the U.S. Open this year, was a challenging layout, difficult, and we saw one guy, J.J. Spahn, shoot under par. He was one under to win the tournament. That's what you won the Open by. You one-stroke win, one under par. I love watching guys like you, talented guys, get tested. What do the guys think when they're playing a course like that? And you know, in your case, you were one under par. Nobody else was under par. Is that good for the players on tour? Is that bad? How do they react?
Oh, I think it's obviously a mix, but I loved it because I don't know if you heard McIntyre after he won. He just had even par in his mind all week. And, you know, coming down 18, that's what he had the opportunity to do. And you just know on a tough course like that, in a tough venue like that, just every time you make a par, you're probably moving up the leaderboard. So that's always a good feeling. But at the same time, you know, you're one swing or one little rough mishaps away from, you know, just kind of like what happened to that last group there, you know, kind of coming down the, you know, 15 through 18, they just hit in the rough a few times too many. And it got them. So, yeah, I think it's a mix. Obviously, you're used to on tour, you got to shoot anywhere from 10 to 20, 25 under to win. So it's just a totally different mindset. But I think it's good. It, you know, it just tests your patience more than anything.
But what goes through your mind when you're on the back nine and you I do not look at the leaderboard at all? Like yesterday, I would have been a nervous wreck, but that's because I'm a horrible player or I'm a horrible golfer. I don't even – but I'm looking at the leaderboard. I'm seeing seven guys within one stroke with, like, six holes to go in this thing. And, I don't know how you can't concentrate and worry about what else is going on. And then you got the rain on top of that. That's why I thought yesterday was so special.
Yeah, it's really cool and it's unique. I think, you know, these guys, they work really hard. They spend a lot of money and time with, you know, psychologists. So they're working really hard on their nerves and things like that. I mean, obviously the two guys at the end looked the most calm of anybody.
They did, yeah.
You know, JJ, look, he didn't look like he was nervous at all. He was just focused. He was just going through his stuff and doing his thing. And, you know, where, you know, the kind of the last group that kind of got a little tense and a little nervous, it must have been. And obviously dealing with the with the weather and conditions can test your patience as well. So at the end, it just comes down to who can deal with it the most. But those guys do such a good job. And, you know, I'm not trying to knock Adam and Burns, you know, but they, you know, it obviously probably got to them a little bit. It's a long day and a lot of the pressure, and it happens to everybody. So I'm sure they'll deal with it and move on fine.
Former Open champ Ben Curtis joining us. Ben, when it was an absolute deluge there and there's standing water all over the greens and in the fairways, and you're paying attention to this, you've been in that situation. Is that course unplayable? Should they have played? Should they have stopped it? What should they do in that situation?
Yeah, I think it was just on the edge. Obviously, I watch and then they shut, you know, and I tuned it out for a while and I come back on and like five holes later, I didn't realize they went back out. But, you know, obviously it was unplayable there for a while. And then, you know, when they went back out, yeah, it was tough, but, you know, they have the obligation if they can put a ball on it and put a club into the ground and hit it, they're going to play. So as long as there's no lightning or anything like that, didn't seem like there's much on the greens. And that's usually what stops it more than the fairway and stuff, because you can obviously move it, you know, several feet away to get a dry spot or where there's no standing water in the rough or in the fairway and rough. But yeah, it's tough. And it's one of those things, they don't deal with it too much because it's usually electricity in the air, but it was really unusual for this time of year to not have that.
What went through your mind when he hit the 64-foot putt to win that? And, you know, after
hitting a 40-foot putt.
Yeah, and then being able to get a little bit of an advantage because he could go to school on that too.
Yeah, I think that was huge. And I think they even mentioned that in the telecast. I think knowing that, you know, those greens are slick and fast, and Liam and I actually played there like a month ago, first part of May, and it was really firm out. And so that would have been a totally different putt, I think, if the conditions were different. But you could tell it was going back up the slope at the hole, so he could feel like he could get pretty aggressive with it, which is a good thing. Instead of trying to just cozy it up there, I felt like with the wet conditions and the rain and that, he probably felt like, you know, I can give this a pretty good hit. And what's the worst he's going to do is three putt and he's going to be in the playoffs. So I think that in his mindset would help a little bit as well.
Ben Curtis is joining us, 2003 Open champ and, of course, Kent State All-American. Happy to have him with us. You've been at Oakmont, obviously. The guy said this might be the toughest challenge of golf we face. Why? What makes it so tough, Ben?
Well, it's everything, you know, even the short holes like number two, the green is really severe, with the rough as high as it is. The greens are always really fast there. Even when we went over, the greens were rolling like a 14 or 15. So it's always one of those clubs that's been notorious for that. But then, you know, just the slope of the fairways and things like that. So, I mean, it probably would have been over par if they didn't have any rain and the soft conditions, but I mean, it definitely would have been a lot higher, I think. But you know, they got a little bit lucky with the softness, but you know, obviously those conditions yesterday were pretty extreme. But it's just every hole is really difficult, and then with you saw the rough, you know, those are the best and some of the strongest players, and they can't even hit 10 yards. I saw, you know, a couple guys were hitting, the ball didn't even come up, you know. So it's like, it's just really difficult in that. So you think you hit the fairway, okay, now I can make birdie, now you have to deal with the green. So it just makes it really difficult, and that's why it's one of the best tests in the world, and that's why the U.S. Open wants to go back there. I think they got three more coming up in the next 25 years. So they just know it's a really good test to golf.
Ben Curtis joining us. Ben, you and your wife Candace doing great work with the Ben Curtis Foundation, and you can go to bencurtisfoundation.org. To help Ben and Candace out as they try to alleviate food security for kids in schools. That's terrific. What else are you guys busy doing, Ben?
Well, obviously that takes up a lot of our time, especially Candace and that, but I got my golf academy now, so I'll be outside the Country Club of Hudson all summer doing lessons, working with kids and adults. But then I actually just last fall opened up a simulator place, a membership kind of base in Stowe. Club 283, which is actually my winning score from the Open.
Nice.
And so we have three simulators. Guys can come in. You get, you know, a certain amount, a lot of time every day. You can bring guests. You can bring your own food and drink. So it's just a fun little atmosphere. We've got TVs. So you can watch your favorite sports program or Guardians, you know, the Browns or whatever. So, yeah, so open that in November, and it's been, you know, it did really well. And I think this year we'll even do better. It's getting a little slow now, obviously. With the weather, everybody wants to be outside playing, but it's a great way to keep your game sharp over the winter and keep swinging and, you know, have some fun as well.
That sounds awesome. Ben, thanks for jumping in today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Go Ben Flash. Curtis joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And again, the Ben Curtis Foundation, it's at bencurtisfoundation.org. And he and his wife, Candace, do some great work in making sure they get their birdie bags and great nutrition for kids. And they've been on this for some time.
They're helping out kids. Talking about kids that go home for the weekend and don't have any food to eat, you know, and they're going back to school on Monday. It is a unbelievable
serious
cause.
Work. Yeah. Yep. And they do a great job with it. I think it's really cool to hear a guy who has succeeded on the biggest stage talk about the challenges and playing a difficult course like that, Andy. And you're going to get different responses. But when he said, in a normal week on tour, guys are shooting between 10 and 25 under par, you know, to win a golf tournament. Man, I thought it was a delight to watch guys have to make really difficult decisions. Guys make difficult shots, place the ball in the right spot. I just thought it was fascinating and good for them.
It's just amazing. I just thought yesterday was outstanding. It's a reason. There's so many different reasons why it can take just the average fan just watching something like yesterday to make them appreciate the game, like the game, and realize that, you know, even the best make the same kind of mistakes you do. They just don't do it very often. And all it takes is once.
Yeah.
And it's the same feeling the other way around when you're just like, you know, you play in a men's league if you don't play in a men's league, you just play every once in a while. When you make that one amazing shot, and that brings you
back time and time again.
You take 15 slices at a ball on one hole, and then hate the game forever, and then come back and make one great putt, and you're like, oh, I love this game. And when you see pros that have, you know, just one shot, that's all it takes. You know, the guy that wins yesterday hits the stick, and it bounces back
49 yards.
It's just
green.
That's what makes the game great. I think it's just it's relatable.
Yeah, or what makes it frustrating is, you know what, where guys still behave like they're 13 years old on the golf course. Rory McIlroy, if you missed
what was that all about yesterday?
Rory hit a tee shot. When was this, Dan? On Friday, he hit that shot. You were there. Dan is standing nearby, saw the busted up tee. Rory apparently hit a tee shot he didn't like, turned around. I know he wasn't expecting to do this, but if you take your golf club and smack the tee marker, bad things could happen. And he basically splintered the tee marker, and it went all over the place. So that was bad. And then Wyndham Clark.
Oh, what a weekend he had.
Wyndham found out he missed the cut, and he started beating on the lockers. Busted up a couple of lockers in the Oakmont Country Club locker room.
Sounds like rage to me, man. That's some rage.
Tell you what that is immaturity. Come on, Andy. I mean, you're pro golfers. Should you be beating on lockers that aren't yours? You're in a historic country club, and you're beating up locker screens. You can go look at the picture online.
How about Dan Hatton falling apart yesterday, right, at the end? And he just takes his club and drives it into the ground.
Which he could, because, you know, there was 17 feet of standing water there.
Oh, only because the water was there, was he allowed to do
that? I don't think so.
I was just watching. And then how about Rory at the end? I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do when he skipped the press availability.
Yeah.
I really liked him.
I'm Rory McIlroy. I have a career grand slam. Kiss my butt.
You know, I finally had sympathy for him after he won the Masters. And I was like, okay, I feel it. I get it.
He ruined
it,
didn't he, Andy? He ruined it.
He absolutely destroyed it in one day. Well, one weekend, I should say. Come on, man. So what if you don't win? Talk to the media. Who cares? It's 5 minutes of your life. It's good for your brand. And by the way, If I'm one of your sponsors, I want to see my hat on TV. One of my kids asked me yesterday after Spawn wins, they're like, is he from Cleveland? And I'm like, no, why are you asking me that? Because he's sponsored by
Cleveland.
Cleveland Clubs, yeah. So,
there you go.
And I was like, no. Oh, okay, I get it now. But it's still good. It's good marketing for us, isn't it? Whether you like it or not.
Well, yeah.
Even if you have a question in your mind, like, oh, does this guy, does he have something to do with Cleveland? Oh, I like it.
He should, shouldn't he?
Yes.
I mean, or you could point to Rory throwing his club on 12, too. And
that's
then,
true.
And then yesterday, one of the coolest moves you'll ever see, he threw his club back at the bag, and the club bounced back at him, and he caught it.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Pretty cool. You can see it around the web. It was one of those, like, oh, wow.
Dan, you actually saw the splintered tee marker?
Yeah, he cracked a drive into a bunker. There's this area on 17 to the right that is basically, to put it lightly, death. If you put it over there, you're looking at a crooked number on your scorecard. And he hit it, it sliced, and then he turned around and just went boom and broke it. And I looked at one of the USGA volunteers who was standing there and went, how long have you been standing there? And he's like, I'm up since 10 a.m. I go, I think you need to pick that up and put that on your mantle. I think you've earned that today.
And did he?
No.
And then did he get arrested because you told him to do something?
No.
Okay.
No, he ignored me, which is the right thing to do.
Is it?
What a lot of people have done throughout their lives, and they're better off for it.
U.S. Open and Father's Day. What other Father's Day traditions did you follow yesterday, Andy Baskin? I can't wait to hear. It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps. I had a couple. I had a couple things yesterday.
I want to hear.
I'll tell you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Before we get to your Father's Day festivities,
yeah,
you got about 3 or 4 days growth of a beard again.
Yeah.
You always look, you know, cool.
I don't think you should
let it go.
It just gets kind of scraggly on the outside, so I don't like that.
I think you could grow a serious beard.
I don't think you could give Bennigan a run for your first money. I don't have it. No way.
I think you do.
I don't think I have
it. I think you could do it.
That's serious.
Tropical Storm and I were talking about the other day. I don't know. My mom was all over me about it the other day. She's like, when are you going to shave? When are you going to shave? I don't know. I'm still like a little kid when my mom says that to me, so I kind of feel like I can go like a day or two. It's when it starts to itch. So, you know, Tropical asked me the other day, he said, you know, Dad, can you grow a beard? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, why not?
Yes, you can. It's on your face now.
It starts to itch, though, after a couple days. And, you know, why don't I grow a beard during the middle of the summer? Because that's genius. That's absolutely genius.
Well, that's what you've done.
I do want to go straight buzz cut on my head, though.
Did you have a fine Father's Day?
I did. I got a really cool golf shirt, and that is so middle-aged man, isn't it? We got a really nice golf shirt. We went to Home Depot. I bought some some stuff for the furnace and blah blah blah. I hate being old, man. I'm trapped.
You're not old.
My mind is young. My body hates me, though. Body hates me. I looked in the mirror the other day. Yesterday, I was like,
"Oh,
that's my dad."
Yeah, hi, Dad.
I saw my dad, and I was just like, "I mean, I love my dad." And it was Father's Day. I was thinking about him yesterday, but I was just like, "Man, I'm cursed with all the same problems he had."
What else did you do?
Your
wife cook a nice dinner? Did you go out? What'd you do?
Fantastic. So she had stuff going on in the morning. So I took the kids to brunch in the morning. We went to a pretty decent place, and that was nice. I just want to sit outside and have a cup of coffee. Like that made me happy yesterday. Nice. I don't know. It's funny how when you get old, little things are okay. And then just to not have to do any dishes yesterday, that was a treat in itself. And then we grilled out at the end of the night. And nice. My wife is fantastic, man. No one cooks better than she does.
That's what you keep telling me.
She's so
good. Dan and I wouldn't know if you don't bring stuff.
She's so good. And then, you know, like she's like, when are you going to make dinner for me? I'm like, I can't even come close
to
living in your world.
Pot pie?
Because we get in the argument all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm happy to make tacos. And she's like, you have to make something other than tacos. I go, I'll make something, but you can't be upset about the fact that I'm like...
Not a gourmet cook like you
I'm
are.
Like a two-course meal. I know how to throw a salad together and then something real simple. I'm telling you, she could do a 6-course meal off the top of her head, and it'll be fantastic. Everything will be.
We had a Phelps. It's become a Phelps family Father's Day tradition yesterday.
Golf? What'd you guys do?
No. I went to a baseball game first. I went to the Division VI state championship game at Canal Park.
Oh, are we going to? Yeah, we need to get some shout-outs.
It was a lot of fun. Berlin Highland came back. They gave up 3 in the 7th, and I think it was Lake Christian. And they scored 3 in the 7th to take the lead, and then Berlin Highland came back and scored 2. But it was a great – Canal Park does a great job with those games. That was a lot of fun.
Lake Catholic, congratulations to you. You're a state champion. Yeah. University of School, state runner-up. Good for you guys, too. Congratulations. Am I forgetting anybody? I don't want to forget anybody that's in our listening room.
Well, it was a lot of fun. And the Canal Park is a terrific place to watch a baseball game, no matter what level of game is being played there. And then twice a year, Andy.
Yes.
I get to go to a place that I enjoy, and the family likes giving me absolute grief about it, but then they go and they eat it and they devour it.
Hang on. Amherst Steel, got to give you a shout-out, too. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
That's okay.
I didn't want to leave anybody out.
Went to one of the infamous Barberton Chicken Houses for dinner last night.
Oh, is that the tradition?
Yes. So, Father's Day and birthday. So, I did.
Did you get any gifts out of this or no? Just chicken. You were good with that?
I got 2 gifts from one of my kids.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
And it's okay. He picked them up between the baseball game and going to dinner.
There you go.
I walked in the house and they were sitting on the kitchen table. A bag of Frito scoops.
Oh, well played. Well played.
And
that's called knowing your audience.
And Fig Newtons.
Wow, 2 for 1.
That is remind your audience.
Fig Newtons is a family joke as well, because one time for snacks, back when you're doing the snacks for kids, I busted up Fig Newtons and gave everybody Fig Newtons. I think my kids were embarrassed as all get out because Fig Newtons was our snack. My kid yesterday actually said to me, and he has a gal pal, and I said something about Fig Newtons, and there they are. He gave them to me for Father's Day. And I said something about when I, we gave them out for the snack day, for after the game. And he went, she actually said to me the other day, hey, have you ever had these things called Fig Newtons? They're great.
You're kidding.
No. And he looked at her and he thought, oh my God.
The problem is they're not.
Oh, yes, they are.
Oh, no, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're too dry on the outside.
I had 3 with coffee this morning.
See, but you need the coffee to make them okay.
No, I don't.
I just do. I want to destroy something you love because you destroyed Reese's peanut butter cups to me. And I'm not getting in the Reese's argument with you again. You destroyed them for me.
Because now all the salt gives you a headache?
Well, no, I never once ever thought about when I ate them that there was salt in them because it just wasn't top of mind. And then you bring that up and it's like severance. You implanted it into the back of my head. And so now every time I eat one of those, it's all I can taste is salt. Thanks, man.
Anything for you.
You suck.
Dano, did you splurge? Did you buy your dad dinner yesterday? What'd you do?
I gave him... So every year he has a gas starter on a charcoal grill.
U.S. Open hat?
And so every year I'd buy him. Nah, he would have been okay with it, but what I got him he likes a lot better, which is we get these little propane tanks, which help his gas starter on his charcoal grill. And so he's over the moon with that, and then wood chips for him to smoke meat. And he's over the moon with the idea that he can smoke meat and get his grill started without having to sit there forever. And so spent the rest of the day doing what he wanted, which was to sit around, have a couple cocktails, talk stupid, and graze is exactly how he put it. So we ate a miscellaneous amount of appetizers all over the place, and he was happy. The whole conversations that went nowhere.
Well done.
Nice job.
Well done. Yeah,
he was nice job.
I'd disown you if you were my son, but well done. Otherwise, you'd be good.
You've already disowned me, and I'm not even your son.
That is true.
That's a very valid point. Yeah, isn't it?
I respect that.
That's a very valid point.
I respect that. Yeah, so no, good day for you then overall, then?
Yeah, it was a fun baseball game to watch, and then good dinner.
I got nothing else. I was at the track meet this weekend. That was fun.
The restaurant that we went to closed at 6:30.
What was the discount on your Golden Buckeye card?
Or
did you pull the ARP card out for
that? It was weird because I had, we had planned to get there at 5:30 and they close at like 7:30 anyway. But we walked out. We were one of two parties left in the place. We walked out and there was a taped message on the door. Closed at 6:30 today. Thanks. What restaurant closes at 6:30?
A breakfast place?
Yeah, and it's not.
Maybe they're holding a holiday party?
Everybody was out of there.
That's
strange.
Maybe they were closed just because they wanted to do. Yeah, that is weird.
That might have been. Yeah, that's when I thought it was strange, but quite tasty. So there you go. So we hope everybody had a dandy Father's Day and enjoyed celebrating with your pop or thinking about your pop.
Oh, the other big exciting thing was I got a new propane tank. That was awesome.
That's a big thing.
I'll tell you, that first time you put that propane tank on, you just feel the power. You're like, oh, it works. Because then you realize that the last one was running out of propane, and you're like, it was just kind of a little bit of a flame. And then yesterday it was just, whoosh, fired. Ah.
You know when you get a different grill, and it sometimes takes you a while to figure out?
Yeah.
I purchased a grill from a gentleman known as the Poobah. And I've been getting used to his grill. And the other day, my wife had been saying for a couple of weeks, you know what? We should get some steak, cook some steak on the grill.
There you go, yeah.
Well, the grill that I did have needed new burners and everything else.
Yeah.
Flames were outrageously high.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'd have to turn it way down and the thing would get really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't have a really good lid on it, you know.
Oh, I know the feeling. I'm living that life right now.
It was a decent grill, and it worked, and it worked for a while. But I got this different grill from the Poobah. And
does it say, what is this burger you speak of?
So
what is this chicken you speak
of? It's got a really heavy lid on it, but the burners aren't overly hot.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out how to cook on this as opposed to the other one, because the other one I almost never close the lid. So I'm cooking these fillets.
Oh,
and
Dan, fillets, excuse me. That's a ding.
It's big city living right there.
That's a ding.
That's big city living.
Should I preface it a little bit? I'm cooking these fillets that I got from one of the great big places where you have to show your card when you walk in.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's still a ding.
Still big city living.
It's the only place to buy a fillet.
Still big city living.
The first time all year that we've bought steak. So
don't make us feel bad for you.
So I've got them on the grill, and they're not getting all heated up. And I thought, all right, I gotta close the lid. And I've got to try this. So I close the lid.
Pressure.
And then I, flipped them close. They were perfect. It was really good. And then afterwards, because you should always look at the directions afterwards. Mm-hmm. I looked up on the internet, hey, how should I cook a steak on this particular model of grill? And they had some dude with an Australian accent, who's some grill master. And he said, always close the lid when you cook on your grill.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I never did.
Really?
Yeah, because the dang thing used to get so hot that I didn't want the thing to burn the house down.
I don't know, hot dogs, maybe? I can't think of another thing.
So anyhow, now I'm learning how to cook properly while closing the lid. Worked out great.
I'm so proud of you.
Game 5 NBA Finals tonight. Pacers, Thunder, Sam Amico, HoopsWire.com will have opinions. Who wins it and why? And what about the Orlando Magic now that they have Desmond Bane? Amico's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.